The elusive mastermind of the 2001 terrorist attacks on the United States is dead, a victory 10 years in the making. The stunning end to the world's most widely watched manhunt came as a result of persistent and sometimes frustrating intelligence work. Bin Laden was shot during a U.S. raid on a secret compound in Pakistan. His death came as a surprise to Lieutenant Colonel James Vizard, a battalion commander from Fort Knox, Kentucky, currently stationed in Afghanistan. In a phone interview, Vizard said he at first didn't believe it.
A friend of mine who's a reporter at the Pentagon had tweeted, heard it from a reliable source, Osama bin Laden's dead. And then I thought, well, that was odd, but he's a joker sometimes, so I didn't take it very seriously. I went to take a shower. When I came back, it was all over my Facebook page from a whole bunch of people. By then it had popped up on the New York Times webpage, but I couldn't get to it because so many people, I think, were trying to hit it.
What's the reaction been like from other officers like yourself and fellow soldiers there?
Obviously, it's very happy.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. Half of the Kentucky teachers who lost their teaching licenses last year were involved in inappropriate relationships with students. For some, the crimes will go unpunished, but the ones who get caught gain a criminal record that remains with them the rest of their lives. Lisa Autry has this report on predators in the classroom.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Clean sheet of paper, make sure your name.
While the vast majority of teachers are committed professionals, some cross a dangerous line by engaging in sexual misconduct with their students.
As I like to tell teachers, for your certificate, the death penalty offense is an inappropriate relationship with a student.
Alicia Sneed is Director of Legal Services for the Kentucky Education Professional Standards Board, which handles teacher certifications. A review of state records shows in Kentucky last year, 36 teachers lost their licenses, and in 18 of those cases, teachers were convicted on charges of sexual misconduct with their students. The cases involved teachers as old as 61 and their victims as young as 15. Case in point, 36-year-old Nicole Sumner of Warren County. The special education teacher at Warren East High School was sentenced last October to 6 years in prison on sex abuse charges stemming from an affair with a 17-year-old male student. Warren County Commonwealth's attorney Chris Coron prosecuted the case.
In her sentencing hearing, she had a myriad of excuses.
At sentencing, Sumner acknowledged the consequences of her actions, including the end of her marriage and losing custody of her two children. Her career is over, as far as ever being able to teach again. After completing her prison term, Sumner must also register as a sex offender. Technology is making it easier for teachers to engage in sexually charged communication with students. Many talk and text on cell phones to strike up the relationships. In the case of Nicole Sumner, she provided the phone to her male student and sent sexually explicit text messages to the teen.
I think you'll find this quiz easier than the third quiz.
A relatively new state law makes it a felony for a person of authority or trust to have sex with someone under 18 if the alleged offender came in contact with the juvenile as a result of his or her position. A one-time fixture in Kentucky politics will spend the rest of his life in prison. Scheduled to go on trial in August, Steve Nunn entered a surprise guilty plea to murder in Fayette Circuit Court. He was charged in the shooting death of his ex-fiancee, Amanda Ross. Her mother, Diana, spoke last year to WKU Public Radio.
Amanda was an intelligent and independent, educated career woman. If this can happen to her, if she can get caught up in this type of abuse, I feel like anyone can.
Amanda Ross was 29 years old and worked for the State Department of Insurance. She was gunned down outside her Lexington home following an abusive on-again, off-again relationship with Nunn. She had taken out a domestic violence order against him prior to her death. Fayette Circuit Judge Pamela Goodwine sentenced Steve Nunn to life in prison without parole. A spokesman for the Ross family says the family thinks the plea and life sentence are just. Governor Beshear hired Nunn early in his administration to serve as Deputy Secretary for Health and Family Services. He reacted to the surprise plea.
Well, this has been a tragic set of circumstances and a heartbreaking time.
This is Morning Edition. I'm Lisa Autry for WKU Public Radio. When you enter rural Hartford, Kentucky, the welcome sign reads, "Home to 2,000 happy people and a few soreheads." The soreheads packed City Hall Tuesday to meet with Kentucky's junior U.S. Senator Rand Paul.
Are you
In his first town hall meeting since taking office, Paul quickly learned one of the sore spots among constituents was debt, which the Republican senator called the nation's number one problem. Jeff Blackstone of Davis County was among 100 or so people who squeezed into a meeting room at City Hall. In his opinion, the debt ceiling should not have been raised.
This wasn't a crisis on August 3rd. They made it a crisis because they kept scaring everybody to death.
In a break with members of his party, Paul explained why he did not support the debt ceiling compromise, saying it did nothing to balance the budget and added $7 trillion to the nation's debt over the next decade. He added the compromise agreement needed more serious spending cuts and entitlement reform.
About 55% of the budget, maybe 60% of the budget, is entitlements.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. The United Auto Workers Union begins contract talks this week with the big three U.S. automakers. The bargaining environment for General Motors is different this year than from 2009 when the automaker was facing bankruptcy. Eldon Renault is president of the UAW chapter in Bowling Green. He expects this year the public will be paying closer attention.
Anymore, you know, the general public is very involved because the U.S. government owns about half of General Motors.
Since turning over a majority of its stock to the federal government, GM has been working toward a turnaround, posting a $4.7 billion profit last year. Now union leaders say it's time to share the wealth. Negotiations are expected to be intense with General Motors because the union agreed to additional sacrifices as the automaker headed into bankruptcy 2 years ago.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin. After 4 years behind bars, a former Fort Campbell soldier accused of double murder in Hardin County will be a free man today. The prosecutor plans to dismiss charges against Brent Burke after many failed attempts at trying his case before a jury. Lisa Autry has this report.
Jailed since 2007, Brent Burke is likely to walk later today. The former Army sergeant has faced a jury 4 times, each trial with the same ending.
Bailiff has handed me the following note from the foreman. The jury cannot reach a unanimous decision.
That was Hardin Circuit Court Judge Kelly Mark Easton in Brent Burke's most recent trial, which ended in April. Given the 4 mistrials, the Commonwealth's attorney for Hardin County will ask a judge to dismiss murder charges against Burke. The news came in a letter to Michelle Kerstetter.
One of the secretaries had called me and asked me for my address, and I asked her why.
This is Morning Edition on WKU Public Radio. I'm Kevin Willis. For horse tracks in Kentucky, racing is no longer enough. Many horses are being lured away by tracks with higher purses thanks to electronic betting. This week, a track in Simpson County will try to start reclaiming some of what it has lost. Lisa Autry has the story.
On Thursday, Kentucky Downs will become the first horse track in the Commonwealth to offer instant racing. What's also known as historical racing allows players to wager on previously run horse races at undisclosed tracks. The games mimic electronic slots and appeal to gamblers who perhaps wouldn't be drawn to traditional pari-mutuel wagering. The renovated first floor clubhouse at Kentucky Downs looks and sounds much like a casino. Whether or not the 200 instant racing machines are slots depends on who you ask. That's a question the courts will ultimately answer. This is All Things Considered on WKU Public Radio. I'm Lisa Autry.
This one's sitting right here. She's the one doing these pins.
At this home on South Sunrise Drive in Warren County, guests arrive for a baby shower in honor of Isaiah Allen Stice Reynolds. There are plenty of gifts, but no decorations, no games, no laughter. Above all that's missing is the expectant mom. 21-year-old Jamie Stice was murdered last week, and her son Isaiah born a month premature.
It's just horrible that she couldn't be here today because, I mean, all of us were looking, nobody ever would have thought this. It's just unreal not to be able to look up and see her sitting here with us just laughing about everything.
Chastity Wingate is a high school friend of Stice's who helped organize the shower.
It's the day she picked. She had literally picked it out. We were all ready to come. We'd all already bought stuff. I mean, nobody had any idea this was going to happen.
In the words of Wingate, this is the last thing we can give her that she wanted. This baby shower, planned months ago, turned more into a memorial shower.